Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done.
That is an excerpt from a TED Talk given by Catherine Marr when she was CEO of Wikimedia Foundation. Marr is currently CEO of National Public Radio. That soundbite's making the rounds on social media. She seems to be saying that truth might get in the way of getting things done, a rather utilitarian view, but also thoroughly postmodern, because she will later say that everyone has their own truth, and she suggests that we all try to achieve what she calls minimal viable truth. What is that? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., live on this Friday afternoon, April the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be reviewing this TED Talk given by NPR CEO Catherine Marr with Ken Samples of Reason to Believe. Pastor Ted Geese will join us to review the movie Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And then we'll be responding to your unanswered Bible questions with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Ken Samples is Senior Research Scholar for Reasons to Believe, author of several books, including A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test, and Christianity Cross-Examined. Ken, welcome back.
It's good to be with you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Is what we're going to hear from Catherine Marr in the course of our conversation, is it unique to her?
No, not at all. I think our culture is inundated with the kinds of things you're going to hear her say. So this reflects, I think, what I would call a secular postmodern viewpoint. So it permeates our culture, and it's amazing, you know, a former CEO of Wikimedia, which stands behind Wikipedia, but yet that's the way things are today.
What is postmodernism?
I think a good way of thinking about it is that truth is subjective, it's individual, it's relative, it changes for each individual. It may be unknowable, so we might have to invent truth. It's workable or useful, but it's not true. And in many ways, it's less important than power. And I think all of these adjectives I've used are descriptive of what Catherine Marr says.
Well, let's start by analyzing the TED Talk that she gave while still CEO of Wikimedia. Here she is talking about personal truths.
Our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done. Now, that is not to say that the truth doesn't exist, nor is it to say that the truth isn't important. Clearly, the search for the truth has led us to do great things, to learn great things. But I think if I were to really ask you to think about this, one of the things that we could all acknowledge is that part of the reason we have such glorious chronicles to the human experience and all forms of culture is because we acknowledge there are many different truths. And so in the spirit of that, I'm certain that the truth exists for you, and probably for the person sitting next to you. But this may not be the same truth.
So how is she using the word truth?
Yeah, very, very interesting. You know, philosophers have thought a lot about the idea of what is knowledge. So if we think of Western civilization being deeply influenced by Christianity, knowledge is justified true belief. You believe something, it happens to be true, and you have good reason to believe it's true. It's interesting for her, she wants to distinguish between truth on one side and what we can know on the other. Well, that's very convoluted because knowledge entails truth. truth in a biblical sense, truth in terms of most of Western civilization, means that you believe something and your belief matches reality. In philosophy, we call it the correspondence theory of truth, or a realist view of truth. So when she begins distinguishing between truth and knowledge, it becomes very convoluted. And at first I thought, how could anybody who would be the CEO at Wikimedia would know that? But Todd, this idea of postmodernism, this confusion about truth, it has seeped into all parts of our culture.
She did, as you pointed out, kind of seesaw back and forth between statements like "we know" and then assertions that everyone kind of has their own personal truth, that all of them are by implication equally valid.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And for postmodernists, truth is subjective, it's personal, it's relative to the individual. If you push a little further, it could be invented. And then later she talks about finding common ground that's workable or useful. To some degree, Jacques Derrida could have given this talk. I mean, she mentioned some positive things in the beginning. She's articulate. She talks about the fact that people do disagree and we can be uncertain, we can have biases. But as soon as she dives into distinguishing between knowledge and truth, wow, all bets are off.
Here's Catherine Marr again warning us against using personal truth.
And so when we try to use our personal truths to come to conversations around collective decision-making on important issues, we start to run into problems. Because collective decision-making, the sort of thing that we want to do in democratic and open societies, requires that we get together with common understandings about the root of the problem and some assumptions about how we might get out of it. But if we're using our personal truths to do this, we end up having conversations about our values and our identity. Because remember, our truths come from where we come from. And then we're focusing on what divides us instead of what we can agree upon. And that allows us to start having conversations about the truth in a way that focuses on what we believe rather than what can be known. And that is a definition that is deeply divisive and harmful.
What was she saying there, Ken?
Well, again, it's just kind of jolting to hear someone talk about belief and knowledge and truth. What's interesting, again, is that if I believe something and it corresponds to reality, then I know the truth. And so this idea that, again, your personal truth kind of, you're kind of mixing facts and beliefs. They come from your values and your identity. Todd, the classical position, and this is not just a Christian view, the classical view of truth and knowledge is that truth is objective. It's not my private ownership. It's out there. It's universal. Truth is absolute. You can know it. Doesn't mean you don't have to work hard to discover it, but it is discoverable. It corresponds to reality, and truth ought to be the object of one's life pursuit. I mean, in a biblical context, God is truth. Jesus is truth incarnate. So this is, again, I think a place where we really have to think carefully, and critical thinking and careful thinking is so needed today when we hear things like this.
Here again is Catherine Marr. She introduces a concept that she calls minimum viable truth.
With such urgent threats ahead of us, we need better ways to get to shared understanding. Fortunately, I've seen how at Wikipedia, we can come to cooperative and productive conversations around disagreement and decision-making without using one shared truth as our baseline. Its generous and accommodating approach offers us a practical way to take it down a notch, focusing on something a little less stressful, the best of what can be known right now. And the good news is we can know a lot of things. We have high quality information, facts and data that allow us to do things like track the migration of endangered species or the spread of a pandemic around the world. These are useful tools in our toolbox, but they don't necessarily alone change minds or unite disparate views. So how do we do that? We shift from focusing on one key truth to instead finding minimum viable truth. Minimum viable truth means getting it right enough of the time to be useful enough to enough people.
What do you make of that concept of minimum viable truth?
Wow, it's almost breathtaking to hear that kind of discussion. I mean, we're told by Mrs. Marr that we're to set aside our big picture beliefs about truth, and we're to engage in, again, what she calls getting right enough of the time to be useful enough to enough people. Well, I think the sophists could have said that to Socrates 2,500 years ago. Again, the idea seems to me that instead of truth corresponding or matching reality, we have to cooperate together. Now, I appreciate that, and I certainly think our culture has far too much clash in it. But she's really saying we can't discover the truth, so let's get together and find what's useful and what's workable. So this is a very different approach to the idea that truth is a reality and truth should be the goal of our life. I think this idea of minimum viable truth, I think, again, it's twisted in the way it's presented.
Ken Samples is our guest. We responded to a TED Talk given by NPR CEO Catherine Marr on balancing truth and beliefs. We'll talk a little bit more about minimum viable truth next.
There ain't no good guy. There ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
The church has a proclivity to follow after trends and fads and be led away by things that are super popular in the moment and only fall away from it.
Pastor Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But Scripture tells us that good, sound Christian ministry is to mature us in Christ so that we will not be children who are tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine and human cunning. So in my presentation, we'll be talking about the tendency to go towards fads, but the solution is being found in Scripture and what it is that we're really to be focused on in order to build up our faith and to sustain the church into the future.
You can meet and hear Pastor Chris Roseborough making the case against the fad-driven church at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. For more information, go to issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Memoria Press is a worldwide leader in the publishing of classical Christian education. We have everything you need for students in kindergarten through 12th grade, and our materials can be used in any classroom setting to suit your needs. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 to save $5 at checkout. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is accepting applications for the 2024-25 school year. Faith Lutheran provides a classical Lutheran education for pre-K through high school. Learn more at flsplano.org, Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. We're discussing a TED Talk given by NPR CEO Catherine Marr on balancing truth and beliefs. Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe is our guest. Ken, coming back to that concept that she introduced of minimum viable truth, I don't think we could have put a man on the moon using minimum viable truth or whatever we could arrive at consensus on. It's a matter of life and death when you're sending men into space. Is truth still a matter of life and death?
I think it is. Your point's well taken, Todd. If I believe 2 + 2 = 4 and 2 + 2 does equal 4, then I know the truth. In terms of mathematics, in terms of the laws of logic, universals, these ideas are critical. And unfortunately, a concern I do have is that these postmodern ideas are not only creeping into the social sciences and the humanities, but they're entering into the STEM disciplines. I don't think we could have put a person on the moon if we adopted the idea that all truth is subjective, relative, unknowable, and not as important as power. But that's where we are. And when people question whether philosophy has an influence, yeah, these philosophical ideas were in the elite universities, but now they've crept down into where we live. And it's a strange world we live in. And again, critical thinking is so important.
Here is the conclusion of Catherine Marr's TED Talk.
So what I'm asking all of you today is to set aside your own personal truth for just a minute, for the opportunity to sit in someone else's. It's to endure the productive friction of coming to common agreement with someone who you may not agree with or perhaps even like. And with just enough rules and a little bit of time, I believe that you can do it. And you just might find, we all just might find, that the most important things that we do are the ones that we do together.
What do you make of that, Ken?
Well, you know, I like to say that as a Christian, I believe in truth, unity, and charity. That means I'm going to hold on to the truth no matter what. That's the most important thing in my life. But I'm going to recognize that Christians can be united, we can have differences, and I'm going to desire to be as charitable as we can. I appreciate Mrs. Marr's idea of ratcheting down the friction in society and realizing we have to live together. But I can't let go of the truth. And this idea of setting aside one's personal truth, it just doesn't make any sense. I think we live in a marketplace of idea. Who's got the best idea? The best idea is the idea that's true, that corresponds to reality. And so I'm so glad you tuned me into this topic, because I've watched it probably a half a dozen times, and I find it breathtaking the way that she kind of articulates a very postmodern perspective on knowledge and truth and belief.
Does it concern you that she was at one time CEO of Wikimedia and now is CEO of a very prominent news organization, National Public Radio, given her view of what comprises truth?
Yes, I find it very disturbing. I think that, you know, when I was a young person, if I wanted to get information, I had to go to the library. My children have grown up with the internet. You know, they don't have to go anywhere but on the keyboard. The challenge they have is whether they can trust the information they're being given. And, you know, there's a lack of confidence in the government. There's a lack of confidence in big business. And it's because we have concern about the way people reflect their philosophy of life. So, I mean, after her talk, there were a lot of people clapping and standing. And I was thinking to myself, she is an attractive person. She's articulate. She's personable. But she's talking nonsense.
What's at stake when a culture rejects objective absolute truth?
I think it is potentially cataclysmic. I mean, I remember being a student wanting to major in philosophy, and I remember my World War II father said, you know, how much money does it pay? And the way I conveyed it to my dad is, you know, Dad, you fought a war against fascism. there are ideas out there that I think are very self-destructive. They're destructive to our culture. And I think that, again, this illustrates how important it is to have a revelation from God. God has to reveal himself. God reveals himself in terms of truth and knowledge. So I think these issues are deeply concerning, and I'm concerned about our nation. I'm concerned about, you know, our children and where they're going. But I think we just simply have to get back to presenting the Christian faith, defending the Christian faith, explaining the Christian faith, and that the Christian worldview is so rich and so deep. And that's why people listening to your program, Issues, Etc., is so, so important.
Finally, why is Christianity a superior worldview to that of postmodernism?
I think that the historic classical Christian perspective is far superior. I think in terms of explaining the nature of reality. I mean, here's a way of thinking about it, Todd. What if you ask the question, what would the world look like if Christianity were true? What would I look like if the Christian worldview were true? I think Christianity explains the world in which we live. We appear to live in a fine-tuned universe that seemingly had a beginning. We also, when we look in the mirror, I love what Blaise Pascal said. He said that human beings are an enigma, a riddle of greatness and wretchedness. Greatness because of the image of God, but wretchedness because of original sin. I think the historic Christian view makes sense of knowledge. It makes sense of truth. It makes sense of creation, fall, redemption, consummation. So in light of these kinds of things, I think the historic Christian view is far superior, and it's coherent. Christians, certainly we argue and we disagree with one another, but we need to pursue the truth and not settle for anything but the truth.
Ken Samples is senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe. He is author of several books, including A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test, and Christianity Cross-Examined. You can purchase these books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Ken, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Pastor Ted Geese joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to be reviewing the movie Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hello, this is Roy Askins, editor of the Lutheran Witness. One of our goals is to help you, as I say all the time, interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective, and that includes interpreting our contemporary culture and the major writings that have informed it. If you haven't already, you need to check out the Lutheran Witness website and see our series on literary reflections, where we have commented on works such as Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, the writings of Jane Austen, and more. Visit witness.lcms.org/series to read the whole thing. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Matthew Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The LCMS operates the second largest parochial school system in the United States. What can you expect from a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school? There's one race, the human race. And Jesus died for the sins of every man, woman, and child from every land and every nation. Life begins at conception. All life is precious from womb to tomb. And every student, parent, and teacher is created in the very image of God. There's right and wrong, and we know which is which from the Ten Commandments. There are only two sexes, male and female, he created them. Marriage is the lifelong union of one man and one woman. There's such a thing as objective, absolute truth, and it's found in the person and work of Jesus Christ and His Word. To find a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school near you, visit lcms.org/schools.